Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for our meditation this evening is the Old Testament reading from Joel chapter 2, verses 12 through 19. As I said at the beginning of the service, we're entering into the season of Lent, and the whole theme of the season of Lent is repentance, acknowledging our sin, saying that we're sorry for our sin, turning away from our sin, and then turning toward God once again to receive forgiveness. Of course, this is the entire focus of the Christian life. Martin Luther says in the Small Catechism that this isn't just something that should happen once a year on Ash Wednesday. It's not just something that should happen in one season, just the season of Lent. This is the daily life of the Christian, that in daily contrition and repentance, the old man, the old sinful nature, is drowned and dies with all sins and evil desires, and that a new man should daily emerge and arise to live before God in righteousness and purity forever. This is the Christian life. Daily repentance, daily receiving forgiveness from Jesus. And the balance between all of this is what we call in the Lutheran Church law and gospel. And this isn't just something that the Lutherans made up. This is the way that God reveals himself to us in the scriptures. He breaks us down with his law. He shows us our sin with his word of law. And when we have realized that we are sinners in need of forgiveness, then he gives us his gospel. He shows us that he is gracious, merciful, and forgiving to all who repent and believe in him, all who turn to him to receive forgiveness. And we see this over and over and over again in the book of Joel that we're going to be focusing on during this season of Lent. So like I said at the beginning, even though we're beginning our study of Joel in Joel chapter 2, the theme of law and gospel still reigns true no matter where we jump in the book of Joel. To back up to the previous chapter, Joel chapter 1, Joel is a prophet who's telling the people of Israel that a day of wrath is coming to them. It's a very common theme of the prophets in the Old Testament. The prophets are always calling the people back to repentance. Because when you read the whole history of the Old Testament, you know that there are so many times where the people of Israel were not faithful to God like they were supposed to. They were supposed to hear his word. They were supposed to obey his covenant. They were supposed to go according to his word and his will. But so many times they started going after their own wills, started going after their own ways, and turned away from God, sometimes even turning toward other gods. So at those times, God sends the prophets to preach his word to them, always calling them back to repentance, making them realize their sin, and then turning them toward their Savior, law and gospel. And Joel is no different. We don't know exactly how the people had been rebelling at that time, but we do know that Joel is finding it necessary that he is sent from God to call them to repentance. And what he's prophesying is going to happen is that God is going to send a great plague of locusts on the people. And the locusts are going to eat and destroy all the crops and everything. And in the ancient world, that's bad news. You can't just go to the other side of the country or hope it's stocked at Walmart and not at Dillon's like we can today. If a locust plague came and ate everything, your life is in danger at that time. You are in very dire need. That would truly be the wrath of God visited upon these people. And any time wrath and judgment is brought on the people by God, it's always with the goal of bringing them to repentance. You can almost think of it like it's a wake-up call before the last day. Because all judgment from God is always pointing forward to the ultimate judgment that will happen on the last day when Jesus comes again. When Jesus comes again, this is called the great day of the Lord. That's it. Heaven and earth will pass away. Everything will be exposed that we have done and what we have left undone. Everything is laid bare. There's no turning back at that point, and we are brought either to heaven with Jesus or hell. This is what Peter talks about in 2 Peter chapter 3. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, and then the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the heavenly bodies will be burned up and dissolved, and the earth and the works that are done on it will be exposed. That's it when Jesus comes again at the end of time. And that day will come like a thief, at an hour when you do not expect. So what does Peter mean by that? What does Jesus mean by that when he says that? You must always be ready. So you can think of these smaller judgments, like the locust plague in Joel, or like when God brought his people into exile in Babylon, as God trying to shake them, to wake them up, to realize that they need to return before the end of time. They need to return to God before it's too late. So in a certain way, this smaller judgment from God, the locust plague or sending his prophet to call them to repentance, you can see that even that is great mercy from God. It is his patience towards sin, that he doesn't just immediately destroy us, but he wants us to come to repentance. He wants us to turn to him and to receive forgiveness. Because it is necessary for each and every one of us to confront our sin and be confronted by the word of God regarding our sin. And when we see the wrath of God, maybe at the beginning of Joel chapter 1, or what's prophesied at the end of time, sometimes this fills us with terror. And it is in a certain way good to see what our sin deserves. To see that if it was just up to us in our sin, we would deserve nothing but punishment. Because our sin is truly wicked. Our sin is truly vile. And God is right to punish our sin. God isn't just mean when he executes judgment on people. God isn't just mean when he sends people to hell. God is just and right in doing this, because our sin is so wicked, so terrible, so vile. And we have to all confront this in our own lives. Because sometimes it's so easy to just keep sin at arm's length. Sometimes it's easy to talk about sin in general, but then once I start getting a little specific, well, I don't really want to talk about that. That's hitting a little bit too close to home. It's easy to talk about sin like we're saying, well, we all make mistakes. But when we start saying, I really did hurt someone. I really did hurt my neighbor with what I did and said. I really did hurt and offend God by what I did and what I didn't do. Then we truly see the severity of sin. Not at arm's length. Not just saying everybody makes mistakes, but saying, I am a poor, miserable sinner, and I deserve the wrath and punishment of God. That's what God is trying to get us to realize through the law. That is what God is trying to get the people to realize in Joel chapters 1 and 2. That we would come face to face with our sin, that we would come face to face with the wrath of God, and then we would come to the realization that I can't deliver myself. I'm not getting out of this by myself. I need a Savior. I'm a sinner, and I need forgiveness. So that's the place that we're meant to be brought to right before our reading starts. And then what is the first words of our reading from Joel chapter 2? Yet even now, declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning. Yet, even now. in the face of your sin, in the face of the wrath of God, in the face of judgment, yet even now return to the Lord your God. The wrath of God, the law of God, is not meant to get you to run away from God. The purpose of it is to get you to turn toward God. Recognize your sin, recognize your need for a Savior. Yet, even now, return to me with all your heart. And Joel goes on to say in the next line, and rend your hearts and not your garments. In the Old Testament, you hear sometimes about people tearing their clothes when they hear something terrible or something terrible is going on. And that's what somebody would do when they're repenting of their own sins. As an external sign of their repentance, they're tearing their clothes as well. But what does Joel say here? Rend your heart and not your garments. What does he mean by this? He means that it's not just about the external show. It's about repentance in the heart, recognizing your sin, recognizing your need for forgiveness. Because you can do all the external show you want. You can cry, you can tear your clothes, you can make a big show about how sorry you are so other people can see. But if it doesn't mean anything to you in your heart, it's going to be of no benefit to you, because that's not true faith. That's not true repentance, and that does not receive true forgiveness. So we always have to keep that in mind during the season of Lent. Because we just put an external sign on our foreheads. Why did we do that? Maybe you're taking on some kind of external discipline during the season of Lent. Maybe giving something up. Maybe fasting. These are all good practices. But why are we doing them? Did we put ashes on our forehead so that we can go around and then everybody sees that you went to church? Are we putting ashes on our forehead so that everybody sees how sorry we are and how much we love God? If that's the motivation, then we're just the hypocrites that Jesus talks about in Matthew chapter 6. He says, "Do not be like the hypocrites who want to pray just so everybody sees them praying. Don't be like the hypocrites who just give to the poor so everybody sees them giving to the poor. Don't be like the hypocrites who fast just so everybody sees them fasting. They have their reward," is what Jesus says. They have their reward. They get what they want, human attention. But Jesus wants us to realize what a terrible consolation prize that is, human attention. So fickle, so meaningless. After you get your little 15 minutes of fame, no one cares anymore. Rend your hearts and not your garments. Whatever we're doing externally, putting ashes on our forehead, fasting, or giving something up for Lent, the purpose of this is that we would recognize our need for God, that we would learn to yearn for Him, and that we would learn that we receive every good thing from Him. That maybe from these things we would learn to discipline our bodies. That the external things would reflect what's going on inside the heart. That's the purpose of all these external things. But once the external things like the ashes or the fasting become an outward show for others, then it's worthless. Like Jesus said, it's just hypocrisy. Like Joel said, rend your hearts and not your garments. The heart is the important part. So this Ash Wednesday, God calls you to genuine repentance. Seeing your sin, recognizing your need for a Savior, and turning to Him to receive forgiveness. Turning to God. Why? We've seen Him with His wrath in Joel chapter 1 and Joel chapter 2. Why can we turn to Him? Why should we return to Him? Joel gives us why. Return to the Lord your God, for He is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. He is gracious and merciful to all who turn toward Him to receive forgiveness. because he does not deal with us as we deserve. We deserve punishment. And he does not deal with us in this punishment, but deals with us with grace, mercy, and forgiveness. And this is for all people who turn to him. Blow the trumpet in Zion. Consecrate a fast. Call a solemn assembly. Gather the people. Consecrate the congregation. Assemble the elders. Gather the children, even nursing infants. All people return to God, and they receive grace and mercy and salvation from him. Because this is the way that Joel described God. Then the Lord became jealous for his land and had pity on his people. Do you get the image here? God looks upon you in your sinful state, and he says, I can't leave them there. I need them to be with me again. I need to bring them back to me. I need to forgive their sins. The Lord was jealous for his land and had pity on his people. And the Lord so greatly wanted to accomplish our salvation that he became one of us, that he took on human flesh. And he is so gracious and merciful that he gave up his own life in our place. He paid the debt that we owed. He shed his blood to forgive our sins, dying in our place, like we heard from 2 Corinthians chapter 5. He made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. And at the end of our reading, God says, Behold, I'm sending you grain, wine, and oil, and you will be satisfied. God satisfied the need of his people when they repented. He gave them the food they needed to survive. But this also shows us how God provides for our needs in the church. God gives us what we need in order to survive. He gives us the bread of life that came down from heaven that satisfies our need for God, our need for salvation by Jesus, the bread of life, who gives us the forgiveness of sins. He gives us the wine of his blood shed on the cross that we drink at the altar for the forgiveness of sins. He anoints us with the oil of gladness of holy baptism, where we are anointed and marked as children of God. God isn't stingy with his gifts. He doesn't want to just give you a little bit of salvation. He wants to pour his salvation upon you abundantly, because he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.